To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Happy Sabbath, people of God. Let me thank the Women Ministries Group for the lovely, lovely singing. God was indeed praised. Amen, church. Let me welcome each and every one to worship today. Also, I'm welcoming you on behalf of my husband, Pastor Michael Hewlett, who is currently at North Stamford delivering the word of God. Keep me prayed up, brothers and sisters, as we enter into the discourse of the Lord's word. Let us pray. Father God, I have availed myself today to be used by you. I ask you now to remove me completely so that your name and your name only will be glorified. I am just clay in your hands, Lord. Continue to fashion me, continue to use me. I ask you, Holy Father, that as everyone here is seated in the church and on Zoom, that they may not see me any at all, but may hear your words coming through, piercing the heart and inspiring them for good works. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible mentions several women who were instrumental in the cause of Christ and the fulfillment of prophecy right through the ages. If I were to ask you to identify some, I would likely get the names of Rahab, Ruth, Anna, Abigail, Naomi, Esther, Deborah, Mary and Elizabeth, Bathsheba, all right, Martha, and the list goes on. Well, this message will feature a powerful woman in the Bible. Our sermon today is captioned, "It Is Well." Elisha did many great things. Only Jesus himself in all scripture performed more miracles than Elisha. The woman of Shunem occupies a central, though subdued, role in Elisha's ministry. Two of the greatest miracles would not have taken place if not for the perception, initiative, and persistent hospitality of the woman of Shunem. Today we will examine this story through spiritual lens and learn important life lessons for character building and spiritual growth. This message will reveal what true hospitality should look like. It will define what being content means. It will describe what our attitude in the face of adversity should be. It will explain how God rewards faithfulness. Our passage of focus is 2 Kings 4. I invite you to turn there with me. Are we all there? Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes by, he can turn in there." And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Elisha encounters this woman early in his ministry. She was described as a prominent woman. Scripture does not say what makes her prominent. Evidence suggests, however, that her husband must have been a man of significant property. As the story unfolds, we see that this woman would have been prominent even if she was penniless, for the demonstration, for the demonstrated insight, initiative, and hospitality. She was courteous to Elisha, invited him to dine in her home, and encouraged him to stop and eat at her house with her and her husband whenever he passed through Shunem. This woman, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells her husband that she perceives that Elisha is a holy man of God. She recognized that God was blessing Israel through Elisha, and she wanted to support that work fully. This woman, a godly woman, was not satisfied with just providing food. She persuades her husband to construct a small apartment with all the amenities for Elisha. As anyone here knows, when you travel either locally or internationally, it is a blessing to have somewhere to stay. As I speak, I am sure that you can identify at least one individual who makes traveling for you a delight. Because you know that the warmth and the hospitality you will experience in these homes, even if it's just for a few hours, can be summed up in one word: godly. Oh yes, there are women who exemplify the virtues displayed by the woman of Shunem even today. They're constantly at work in the background, easing the burdens and lightening the load of those like Elisha. Another important point here is that the woman spoke to her husband and requested that an apartment be constructed for Elisha with furnishings. This shows respect for her spouse. She did not just go ahead with construction against her husband's counsel or ignore her husband's thoughts or feelings on the matter. Brethren, this small act performed by the woman of Shunem is a mighty one. It demonstrates that when one is God-fearing, we honor God in all that we do, even in our relationships with our spouse. Husbands, when your wives approach you now with requests that have Jesus and the mission at the center, be pliable and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Do not allow yourself to be a barrier to the blessing that God wants to bestow on others and your family because of your unwillingness to participate. For the unmarried, the counsel is this: pray for a partner who loves the Lord as much as you do, so that the Holy Spirit can use both of you for his glory. What if the woman of Shunem's husband wasn't a believer in the service of God? Can you see how he could have been a stumbling block to the blessings that God wanted to pour on this woman and her family? Let us continue with the reading. We're now in verse 11. And it happened one day that he came and he turned into the upper room and laid down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.'" As Elisha was relaxing in his private apartment one day after one of his long journeys, and you know, he now has this safe haven where he can stop and refresh himself, he's there laying in bed and he's like, "What can I do to repay this woman for all this kindness?" He's there thinking, and he said to her, "Can I talk to the king on your behalf? You know, can I speak on your behalf to the royal army?" And the woman is like, "I dwell among my own people." He wanted to recognize and to reward her for all that she did for him. Now, this tiny village was distant from Samaria, the capital. Elijah offers to use his influence with the king or the royal army on her behalf. Again, this woman demonstrates what selfless giving and hospitality should look like. She was content with what she had, living among people she knew and trusted. The woman has neither the need nor ambition for royal attention. She was a rare gem. There are people in our society today, in this very generation, who also give and expect absolutely nothing in return. These individuals are also rare jewels. How many of us would have jumped at the opportunity for Elisha to put in a good word on our behalf to the king or to the royal army so we could be recognized? And perhaps we would receive compensation or a national award for our outstanding hospitality service in true benevolence. If her motive was for recognition today, she and her husband would no doubt have been invited to the White House and dine with the president and the first lady. Perhaps they would be invited to the State of the Union address, where 27.3 million people in the US would have tuned in on their televisions and on their radios and listened as the president introduced them. They no doubt would have received a standing ovation as the president shares with the nation how hospitable they have been to the prophet Elisha. He probably would have described them as the viewers watched as selfless givers who gave for God. True hospitality makes one feel comfortable when not at home, and this is a gift. Elisha offers compensation, but this woman declines. She does not have the desire or the need for what he's asking or given. God rewards faithfulness. Proverbs 11 and verse 20 from the New King James Version reads, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." The woman could have chosen to be hospitable to Elijah because she wanted a good name for herself and her family and to be recognized in the presence of the king. But the text that we read previously, it dismissed this thought completely. The Shunammite did what she did for Elisha because she was a woman of God. She craved no earthly recognition. Elisha was so moved by the woman's generosity, even though she did not accept what he had offered to give to her and to do for her, he needed to do something for her. How many of us sitting here would have been so impacted and touched by somebody who gave to us that even when we try to give them something back and they say, no, it's okay, you still can't sleep. You just want to reward them because they've touched you so deeply, even more than they know. Let me see, show of hands, there's somebody out there who would have blessed you in such a way, and even now, you may want to even repay that. That was what Elisha was experiencing. He genuinely wanted to do something for this woman. So even though she did not accept what he offered to her, again, he wanted to do something for her. You see, many times the people who impact us greatly and do things for us and minister to us are women. Many times they're women. They're selfless women, and they give, and they give, and they give, and they do so from a willing and godly heart. In those days, whether wealthy or not, this woman's future was clouded by uncertainty. Her husband was aging, and when he died, she would be without human support. With this reality, one would expect that the woman would be self-absorbed and concerned about her own self-preservation. She behaves in quite the opposite. No insecurity or anxiety was noted with this woman. The woman of Shunem declared that she was content. Brethren, the word of God echoes in Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who loved your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Philippians 4, verse 11 reads, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. As Christians, we need to learn the discipline of being content. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines content as being satisfied with what one has. The woman had made peace with her status of not having children, and she was prepared to live her life without murmuring. The text continues, the scripture reading continues. So he said, what then is to be done for her? Again, he has this desire to reward this woman because she is just phenomenal. And Gehazi said, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. Matthew 6, verse 8. The New King James Version reads, for your father knows the things you have need of before you ask. People of God, let this be a gentle reminder. Our God knows what we need, even if we ourselves are unconscious of the need. What a God. He fulfills our needs when we are walking in sweet communion with him. He sends people to minister to us when we need it the most. He opens opportunities we never knew even existed. Stay connected. Remain steadfast. Walk in obedience to him by keeping his statutes and allowing his work to be your delight. The woman's response to Elijah's proclamation declared that she perceived this to be a great blessing. She did not express the least concern about being childless. However, this promise of Elisha revealed her inner desires. No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Her inner desires. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 2 reads, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Thou understandest, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalm 38 in verse 11 reads, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give glory and grace. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The same principle holds true today for us. The Lord knows our hearts and our desires, and he will fulfill them in due season for his glory. Brothers and sisters, be patient. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. Now, outside of Christ, there are no guarantees in this life. We live and we move and we have our being because the Lord allows it. Tragedy does not respect ethnicity, socioeconomic status, or influence. Sister White wrote in Review and Herald, dated January the 29th, 1884, and this rings true even today in 2023. She wrote, The daily records of disasters shows that there is no safety anywhere. Even in our homes, we are in danger. For storms, floods, and fire are sweeping off thousands, while earthquakes are destroying additional thousands. If there ever was a time when we should be sober and watch unto prayer, it is now. Our lives are safe only when hid in Christ in God. We need to day by day come before God, purify ourselves as he is pure. There is always hope for us in God. Faith is our defense, for it connects our human weakness with divine power. I say, brothers and sisters, that it rings true, because in our generation, we still see fires. Anybody saw the haze almost all of this week? All the way from Canada. And we were over here, and we could smell the smoke, and we could see all of that. The earthquakes, the tornadoes, all the signs of the time. And Sister White wrote about this way back then, and it's still happening even today. So tragedy is no respecter of person, whether you are a Christian or not. Now the child grew. I'm at verse 18, if you're following. Now it happened one day when he went out to his father to the reapers. So now the boy is grown, big enough to go out into the fields. And he's out there with his father and the reapers. That he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said, that is the father, to the servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. This precious child, who the woman did not even ask for, who ended up being one of her biggest blessings, died just like that. The loss of a child can devastate a parent or parents deeply. One would expect that this woman would be hysterical with grief and go into deep mourning. No, 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 not this woman. She again reveals her extraordinary character. Verse 21. And she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. She shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." I can't fathom that. Mind you, it's not noted anywhere that she brought the news to her husband to say, "Our boy died." She took that child, laid him on the bed of the man of God, Elisha. So she went up to Elisha's room, put the boy on the bed, closed the door, said to her husband, "Get me the servant, please." Mind you, she said, "Please." Very decent woman. And she asked for the donkey and the servant. And she's like, "You know, I need to go see Elisha." And he's like, "But why? It's not the new moon." So evidence suggests that Elisha would come around maybe around about that time, you know, that season, like new moon and the Sabbath. And it's not that time. So he's not in town. He's not there. So why are you going up? "It is well." This response from the Shunammite woman in her moment of deep despair to lose her prophetical promised child to death was unprecedented. What could account for this calm behavior and reply? The woman had steadfast faith. God gave her this child, and he will not take the child away from her so soon. She had the confidence that Elisha, through the power of God, could rectify the situation. Verse 24. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So this is a matter of urgency. Don't stop. You're gonna go fast. It doesn't matter what is happening. Only if I'm falling off, then I'll tell you to stop. But as far as I'm concerned, go. And she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please, ran now to meet her and ask, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And when Gehazi get to her and he asks these questions, what did the woman say? "It is well." This is the second time that she has responded in this manner, saying, "It is well." Human beings could never solve the despair in this woman's heart. She needed to see Elisha, the man connected with God, who could intercede to the Father on her behalf. Verse 27. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she fell at Elisha's feet. This is the first time we're seeing any bit of pain being demonstrated by this woman. So she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Did I ask you? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand. Be on your way. If any man greets you, do not greet him. If any man answers or want to get in a conversation with you, do not respond. Get there. Put my staff on the face of the child." Elisha recognized what had happened. And he's now sending his servant with his staff to go perform a miracle. And the woman, the mother of the child, said, "As the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, I will not leave you." That's what she said to Elisha. So he arose and he followed her. Important. Even though Elisha had commanded Gehazi to go to the aid of this family, the woman of Shunem was not leaving Elisha. He had to go. His presence was necessary. Her tenacity and insistence that Elisha deals with this crisis himself was absolutely necessary. She had confidence that if he was present, the Lord would not delay to act. Verse 31. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them, because remember, Elisha had asked him to go first. And he laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither a voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back. On his way back, he now met Elisha and the woman, and he told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on the bed. He went in, therefore, he shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. Amen. Prior works. And he went up and he laid on the child and he put his mouth on his mouth. He put his eyes on his eyes. He put his hands on his hands and he stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. He returned. And he walked back and forth in the house. And again, he went up and stretched himself out on the child. Then the child sneezed 7 times. There's just something about the number 7, Elder Martels. It's just a phenomenal number. The child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her. And when she came in, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked her son up and went out. the woman expressed her gratitude by her actions of reverence, falling at Elisha's feet, bowing to the ground, not with words. Throughout the entire story, the woman's act allows her actions to speak for her. As Christians, do we allow our actions to speak for us? Our daily behavior should exemplify Christ. Godliness and godlikeness, as Sister White explains, that godliness and godlikeness is the goal to be reached. And that was found in the Book of Education. No doubt the woman had the fear of God, and she understood that God was in control. Brethren, how do we behave when we experience tragedy and despair? Do we run to God as the woman of Shunem did? Or do we run away from God and harbor feelings of resentment, and perhaps we leave our faith? This woman did not ask for a son, so she had all right, according to human standards, to be upset with God. But she did not operate that way. The way she responded to the tragedy she experienced is beyond human comprehension. No putting on of sackcloth and ashes. None of that. This behavior was a Christ in me behavior. And not I, but Christ exemplified and personified. She understood that God gave her the gift of her son, and he had the power to restore what was taken. Church, let this ring true for us. Whatever work the Lord has begun or started in your life, he will complete it. God does not lie, and he will not withhold any good gifts from his children. Even when we are experiencing our own tragic experiences and our own tragic moments, we have to trust that he's always able and that he will provide the strength to get us through as he sees it. As people of God, do we say it is well in the face of storms and serious tests? In our personal walk with God, do we long to escape in his presence with the troubles of our souls, the way the Shunammite woman sought the presence of Elisha because she knew that God dwelt with him? Be reminded that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. The woman did not seek a magician. She sought to be in the presence of God. Do we ease into our storms when we're going through them? Or do we complain to everyone we meet about how we are struggling and life is unfair? The Shunammite woman repeated, "It is well," when speaking to her husband right after her son died. And she echoed the same sentiments when Gehazi went out to meet her. It was only after she got in the presence of Elisha that she revealed her despair. As children of God, we need to be careful how we complain about life's hardships, especially to people who cannot understand make it better, or even help us with a word of prayer. We have to be careful. Find those people who have spiritual insight, those who can keep you prayed up, those who can keep you at the cross, those who can keep you in their hearts, people who can minister to your souls in a godly way. Ellen White wrote in the book, Steps to Christ, page 89, if we do represent Christ, we shall make his service appear attractive as it really is. Christians who gather up gloom and sadness in their souls and murmur and complain are given to others a false representation of God in the Christian life. I'm going to let that settle in for a moment. And I'll read it again for emphasis. Christians who gather up gloom and sadness to their souls and murmur and complain are given to others a false representation of God in the Christian life. They give the impression that God is not pleased to see his children happy, and they bear false witness against our Heavenly Father. Chapter 4 ends, but her story does not. She's again mentioned in 2 Kings 8. So you can turn there. I'll wait for you. So we meet her again in 2 Kings 8 and verse 1. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your family, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. Verse 2 says, so the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. That beautiful number, 7. 2 whole years had passed since the woman of Shunem's son was brought back to life. And Elisha still has a relationship with this family. He warns her that a famine is coming and that she and her household should get to safety. Nowhere else in the Bible is it mentioned that Elisha told anyone else. Elisha singled out this woman and her household to warn them, maybe because of her continuous ministry to his needs. It arose the desire within himself to care for her. Brethren, I pray that we are allowing ourselves to minister to our fellow brothers and sisters and those who are in need. We gain the favor of God, and in doing so, you also gain the favor of man. The woman and her household, through the power of the Holy Spirit, found favor in Elisha's sight. How does the woman respond to Elisha's warning? Verse 2 says, so the woman arose and did according to the sayings of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. What a woman of obedience. No questions asked, no Eve or Lot's wife behavior. None of that. She arose with her household and left. How do we respond, though? When the Lord asks us to leave something or someone behind because danger lies ahead, do we try to change the Lord's mind because we cannot bear to part with such a thing or person? The scripture says in Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We all need to have a personal relationship with Christ. This relationship will sharpen our lens and it will allow us to discern spiritual things. We are reminded daily that we are children of the King of the universe. We do not belong to ourselves. The Lord our God has called us to a life that is not difficult. It is the sin residing in us that clouds our judgment, and it causes us to believe that what God has asked us to do is overwhelming. It's because sin is residing therein. By now, we're fully aware that our parents' relationship with God cannot save us. Be resolute in your faith and stand for Jesus, even when it is unpopular. Abide by God's commandments. When people or even your own family say you're overdoing it and you're too serious about your faith, let them know, "I have to be serious about God because he's serious and he has been intentional about saving me." God has his standards, and we honor God by walking in his will. Verse 3. "It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines." She stayed the whole 7 years, not 3.5, 3.75, close to 4, 6 and a little. She stayed all 7 because what? The man of God told her, stay there for how many years? And she acted in obedience. I'll start again. "So it came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land." She had to do that. She left for 7 years. The king himself might have taken the property. Other people might have taken the property. It's just as what you'd call in Jamaica, capture land. Somebody moves out, they don't see an owner, so they occupy. So this lady came back. Now she got to go before the king to appeal for her land and for her house. But look how my God works. "Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things that Elisha has done. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, and that there came the woman whose son he had restored, appealing to the king for her house back and for her property. And Gehazi said, my lord, my king, this is the woman, and this is her son. to whom Elisha had restored life. And when the king asked the woman, "Is it so? Tell me the story. So what happened with the boy?" You say, "What? He cried for his head? And what happened next?" And then you traveled to Elisha and Gehazi came out to meet you and you said it was well. Really? And she gave all the details. So when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer to her saying, "Restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of her field from the day that she left the land until now." What a blessing. Brethren, if you're following me carefully, you will recall that Elisha offered to speak to the king on this woman's behalf before. And it was to talk about her hospitality toward him. And she graciously declined. Now Gehazi speaks to the king about the goodness of the woman. That's how my God works. When our motives are pure, he honors us. And I always tell this to the young people. Be faithful. The Lord rewards faithfulness. So the king orders that not only her lands, but also the fruits that was actually harvest from the land and all of that be returned to her, and he restored her property. She did not have the need to boast and to tell anyone what she did for Elisha. Truly, her work spoke for her, and someone else told the tale. Brothers and sisters, when we're kind to others, let us do so because we love the Lord. We love them. And because of the love that we have for God, we have an earnest desire to assist our fellow men. Ecclesiastes 11 in verse 1 says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Jesus tells us himself in Luke 6 in verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Surely the Shunammite woman experienced this. Today you are here and you heard the message. You would have heard how the Lord rewards those who have their characters forged in him. Those who love unselfishly and delight in service for the Lord. You now understand what true hospitality should look like, what being content means, and the attitude we should employ in the face of adversity. Today, I want to pray for someone who is going through some adversity, and you know, like the Shunammite woman, that only God can restore. Maybe you are disheartened, and the pressures and losses of this life have caused you to complain, and now you're experiencing despair. Or perhaps you're saying, "It is well," because you know that God will give you the vitality and the endurance that you need to withstand whatever storms or tests that will come. Brethren, I am encouraging us today in the mighty name of Jesus to hold fast, to remain solid in our walk with God, comes what may. Let us daily pray for Christ to live out his life within us, so that whatever may come, we can go through the storms confidently and we can say, it is well. Please join me as we pray. Our kind, compassionate Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message. I thank you, Lord, that you used me for your glory. I thank you, Lord God, that the congregation was receptive to hearing you. I pray, Holy Father, that you may live out your life in your people. I ask, Lord God, that those individuals who are not saying it is well this morning because they are experiencing some storms, some tests, some trials, some misfortune, whatever it is, Lord God, you know it all together. And you know what your children are going through. But Lord, we also know what you are capable of, because he who began a good work within us will finish it. And so, Father God, I pray for everyone here who stands in need of prayer, those who are hurting, Lord, you know us all. Please, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reach down and restore what is broken. For the women present, Lord God, we thank you that you have some women in Zion who are always standing for you, who are always being courteous, who are leading their households in faith and in godliness when the husbands fail. Father, we thank you that there are women in the background who are holding the prophet's hand. We thank you, Lord God, that you are always present, and that just as the Shunammite woman ran into the presence of Elisha because you were present, help us always, Father, to run to you, because, Lord God, you know the desires of our hearts. Today we have understood completely, Father, that sometimes we have needs that we don't even know of. Lord God, there are things within us that we need, but Lord, you know what? Your word is just amazing, because your word says that you will not withhold any good gift from us, and you just call us to a life of obedience. And now, Lord, as we have availed ourselves to be obedient to your will, help us to run the race and run it swiftly and continue to run. Help us to motivate the youth within our midst, Lord. Help them to understand that this race is not a race for people who are weak. This is a race for people who are constantly on knee city, crying out to our almighty God. Father, we understand that we're living in a sin-cursed earth. And we know, Lord, that we're going to experience tragedies. We're not naive to this. But we also know that you're bigger than that. We also know, Lord God, that you've come through so many times, it continues to put our minds at ease. We understand, Lord God, that you have been sustaining our families. We know fully well, Lord God, that the very air that we breathe comes from you. And whenever you see it fit, you can withhold your oxygen. Father God, we know that you are all sovereign. And so today, as we are in your courts, Lord God, we are casting all of our cares before you. We are laying them down. This is your temple, Lord. You dwell here. For every woman in this congregation who may be carrying burdens and cares, Lord God, help them to release that today. Help them to understand, Holy Father, that you just want to bless them and love them. Help them, Lord, Lord God, to be receptive to the still small voice of your spirit. Help us, Lord Jesus, to constantly walk in a life of obedience. Father God, help us to understand that you have called us to be obedient, and we have to live up to our end of the bargain. Father, there are times that we want things from you, but we don't want to put in the work. And so, Father, I am asking you today to help us, Lord, to meet you halfway. This is a relationship, Lord. You're not in it alone. You're in it with your bride. And as a result of that, Lord Jesus, your bride has to say yes. And so, Lord God, we are here today and we are saying yes. We're saying yes to your will. We're saying yes to your way. We're saying yes to the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit. We are saying yes to your presence in our homes. We are saying yes, Lord, as you use our partners for your glory. We are saying yes, Lord God, you can restore the broken marriages. We are saying, yes, Lord, you can restore the sick and make them whole. We are saying, yes, Lord, you can bring our children through school. We are saying, yes, Lord, you can do for us even more than we know that we need. And so, Father, at the end of the day, we pray also for the men in our midst, because they're also our spiritual guides. And we are asking you, please, Lord God, to bless them and help them, Lord Jesus, to be co-laborers with us as we labor for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, always to let peace reign in our homes. Father God, I beg you today, if we are hypocrites, if we're living a double standard lives in our homes, if our children are not seeing you through us, Lord God, forgive us and wash us thoroughly, Lord Jesus, so that the children may look upon us and see you. And now, Lord God, when the storms come, when the tragedies come this week, when we don't know the end from the beginning this week, when we don't know what plans you have in store for us this week, we're going to leave here today confidently saying, it is well. In Jesus' name.